Our brother Alan Ellers comes to us from Boise, Idaho. And today he has selected for the topic of his discourse, the school of Christ. The school of Christ. Brother Alan.
Thank you, Brother Bob, and thank you, Brother Earl, for that beautiful prayer, because we know we can do nothing without the Lord's help, with His guidance. What a beautiful day we've had today, both inside and out. And what a beautiful gathering of Lord's family. And I like to use the word, too, that it's our friends that we're with today. This morning, as I was walking, I was passed by a younger group of people that were running. It was Brother Bob and Cheryl Goodman. As they come up by me, they said, "Hey, there's one of our friends from Boise." And that's a good feeling to know that I had the friends from Florida and Boise all over. So I appreciate that word, friends, that we're with. Sister Don and I are very thankful to our Heavenly Father. We have this privilege to be with you here this week. We'd like to bring you the Christian loving greetings from our Boise class. Both the Sunday and Wednesday meetings voted unanimously to send their love. We also have love from Sister Mary Beth Swigart in Salt Lake City. Brother Kenneth Glaze, I think he was from Maryland, he ordered our tapes, and he sent a note afterwards that when we come to the convention, he'd like his love brought. And Sister Dorothy DeFord in Canton, Illinois, she's Donna's aunt and Betty Biggs' mother, and I consider her my aunt, too. She's a very lovely lady. She's 97 and in a home, and still, we got a letter from her the other day, and it's still full of the truth. And also, Brother and Sister Jerry Black sent their love over. The School of Christ. In the welcome this morning, he talked about learning, and that's what we're here for. We'd like to use as our theme text Psalms 32:8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you should go. Early in our lives, I'm sure most of us had the opportunity for some academic schooling. Most of us, I'm sure, had elementary school. Some had went on to the high school, and some on to college. And today, they start out earlier. They start out in kindergarten, then they go to elementary, junior high, high school, college, and on further for further educations. Students today have tremendous opportunities for education. They have unlimited resources available to them. These schools are preparing them for their duties of life here on earth. We are here this weekend enrolled in the School of Christ, and we realize that we are in this school every day of our lives, and we will not graduate until our course is finished here on earth. But we also have tremendous opportunities. We also have tremendous resources available to us. Some of the opportunities we have are conventions like these. We have our class meetings. We have individual study. We have prayer, which Brother Walter said was communication with our Heavenly Father. Our textbook, the Bible, is our main resource. But we also have reprints. We have volumes of studies in the Scriptures. We have concordances. We have dictionaries, many books, monthly magazines, many booklets, and you could go on and on. This School of Christ prepares us for the duties and service, not only in this gospel age, but for our service in the kingdom. We have entered this school to learn important lessons, to have experiences that will be profitable for our future lives. At this convention, again, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege of more education in this narrow but wonderful way. We have the lessons from the platform. We have discussions with those of like precious faith. And we have individual reflections on both of those. So let us be diligent students, searching for the truth with an open mind and a sincere heart. Because if we don't continue in our education in the school of Christ, then we will fall backward, or as they say, we will fail. Each of us must make our own calling and election sure. Colossians 1, verses 23 and 25. Colossians 1, 23 and 25. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And then verse 25. I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given for me, for you, to fulfill the word of God. Given to you to fulfill the word of God. Faithful ones grow in grace and they grow in knowledge. They do this through the understanding that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. By that they are able to appreciate all these deep things of God. If we love and if we obey the Lord, and if we desire to grow in His favor, if His written word is our daily meditation, then we grow in knowledge. But if we are the students, who are the teachers? Our Father in heaven is not only the great lawgiver, but is also the great master teacher of His own law. His divine plan for salvation for all contains the promises of supreme justice, supreme love, and supreme wisdom. And our Lord Jesus was and still is the great teacher of men. But this is by appointment of the Heavenly Father. Jesus declared this fact, that His teachings were of the Father and things that He had learned from them. One of these is in John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. John 7, 16 to 18. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of this doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory above that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Doctrine is God's teachings. Our large discourses were always along the line of the divine revelation and God's laws. Many times He publicly declared that His teaching were of things He learned from His Father. Some of His words are in John 14:24, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And in verses 14 and 17, John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then likewise Jesus appointed special teachers under Him. First of all were the apostles, and later on others in the church were instructed. They were instructed to be teachers and to be under shepherds of the Lord's flock, always instructing them. Brother Lynn used this scripture this morning when he talked about learning in Acts 20:28, and I'd like to repeat it. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock in which the Lord has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He has obtained with His blood of His own Son. Care for the church of God. Now this was written to the elders at Ephesus. But this charge not only applied to the persons at Ephesus living at that time, but it applies to us at this time. Those of us who have the opportunities also have a responsibility. They must recognize their accountability to the Lord, and they must recognize their accountability to the brethren. None of these teachers were to teach doctrines of their own, because that would only be wisdoms of the world. They were all to be taught of Jehovah. And none could be true teachers except those that present the men, the words, the plan, the character of God. These are the standards of truth and excellence. The truth that has always been taught was the expression of the Father's grand and His eternal law. Neither Jesus nor the apostles attempted or even claimed originality. This is so unlike many in education today that teach. Most educators know that if a school is to be a success, it must have an educated, disciplined, competent faculty. A faculty that will take charge of the various departments of the work. If no fit faculty can be found, the work could not begin, nor could the education continue. It's only when a fit faculty is selected and prepared can the work of education begin. And that is the work of the church at this present time. The great teacher of the world, the Christ, head and body, must first be selected, and they must be prepared for their work. And they must be exalted to the position before the work of instructing, training, or educating the world to perfection can begin. But it's impossible for the world to understand or appreciate this present work. But we must understand it, and we must appreciate it. As we approach maturity as children of God, we have been taken into our Heavenly Father's confidence. We have been shown His plan for the blessing of His entire family in heaven and in earth. We have become privileged to become co-workers with Him in carrying out His divine plan. And that plan stretches out into eternity and eventually is for the eternal blessing of all. The plan stretches out into eternity and is for the eternal blessing of all. Its foundations are laid broad and deep so that it will last eternally. And each step of the plan is accomplished with unerring wisdom. I want you to notice the word if in these next few words. If we study God's word, if we learn from God's word, if we study the doctrines, if we preach the gospel, if we share the truth, if we reason together, if we express our Father's grand and eternal law, then each of us is not only a student, but also a teacher appointed by God through Jesus. But we should teach along the same line as Jesus, that line of divine revelation that comes from the Word of God and not human speculations and not human philosophies. Now, as students and teachers, we are daily being tested. We are being tested in matters of faith, our obedience, and our love. Our love for God, His only begotten Son, the brethren, and yes, the whole world of mankind. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 6, verses 10 and 11. Hebrews 6, 10 and 11. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Our little all, rendered with care according to our covenant, may be imperfect, but it is considered acceptable through Him whose righteousness makes up for any deficiency that we have. And God is not measuring us by the magnitude of the results of our labors. He is measuring us by the spirit which we develop and manifest in our work. We all know that Adam failed in his test of obedience. The nation of Israel failed in their test. And many others have failed in their test. But we must not fail in our tests of obedience, of faith, and of love. Because unlike many modern schools, our school has a behavior code. Our school does have a behavior code. It requires obedience. It requires discipline for the well-being of all the Lord's people. We must complete our test of endurance as we progress in this narrow but wonderful way. Now, this school of Christ started at Pentecost, and it's not going to remain open forever. It will remain open only until the end of the gospel age. Then the headmaster will close the door for the graduation of the church, and the church will receive her diploma. Revelation 2:10. And this is from the Revised Standard Version. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What a graduation that will be. God knows exactly what we need. He knows what is necessary for our development. And He has supplied all of our needs. By His grace, we have received the Holy Spirit. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And each day, He gives us that opportunity to serve Him, His Son, and to serve the brethren. We are tested to see how we handle those precious gifts He has given us, how we make use of them in our walk. Because the lessons in God's Word are written for those who are enrolled in the school of Christ. We are also to be tested in our willingness to suffer with our Lord, which means suffering as a Christian. It means standing up for the truth. It means suffering for right things you have done that are always in harmony with your covenant with God, in harmony with His Word, and in harmony with His will. Because those who suffer as Christians will rejoice in full assurance of faith, because the Spirit of God will rest on them. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verses 22 to 25. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord foresaw these difficult times. He knew how much we need each other's encouragement. He knew how much we needed each other's help. And the nearer we come to the millennial day, the more precious will be these opportunities for fellowship with those of like precious faith. We need this influence in our lives to offset the increasing influence of the world and its affairs. Those are those powerful undercurrents that Lynn spoke about this morning. We assemble ourselves together for instruction, for Christian development, for mutual edification, for encouragement to each other, for strengthening each other, and for mutual advancement in the school of Christ. Now, this school is not open to everybody. The world of mankind is not in this school. There is only one definite way of entering. There is only one way of becoming a pupil of the great master teacher. And that is being invited by the Father and following Jesus, the teacher of men. This is brought out in John 6:44-45. John 6:44-45. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. So only new creatures with a new mind, with a new heart, with a new will are now in the school of Christ. Only the members of the church, the body of Christ, are being taught by God through His Word. And we know that this school is a very select one. And we know the tuition fee is very high. And it's only for those who have counted the cost and are willing to pay that cost, because it costs us everything. That the tuition fee is high, it costs us everything. But it is for those who have given up their will for God's will. It is for those who love the Lord more than self, love Him more than popularity, more than worldly prosperity, more than the honor of men. As pupils in the school of Christ, the divine word and the divine providence in our lives are specially designed by the Lord, our great teacher. And they are designed to develop our character and to influence our conduct in harmony with His Son, because Jesus is our example, our personal example. And I like the Phillips translation of 1 Peter 2:21. For Christ suffered for you and left you a personal example that you may follow in His footsteps. A personal example for each one of us. Jesus suffered even unto death, and we are to do the same. And He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, leaving us a copy, as the Dialogue reads. He was perfect in His example, and we endeavor to follow His perfect example. I read this in a reprint, and I'm sorry I didn't write the reprint number, but it pertains to it. Let us remember that following Jesus in the best sense means that we walk in His paths, strive to do as nearly as we are able what He would do today, taking our lessons from what He did and what He said personally, and take it from the instructions which He has left for us through the apostles, respecting that path of fellowship in His sufferings, that path to glory and joint heirship in His kingdom. To follow in the Lord's footsteps of humiliation and sacrifice is no light undertaking, but it is the only means by which we can become partakers of the divine nature with our Lord. If we follow in the exact footsteps of Jesus, we will arrive at the same destination. I thought of this as we were traveling in the vans down here yesterday. We were in the second van, and we were following Bob, and I thought, sure, he knew where we were going, and he did. But I thought of that. We followed him all the way, and we got to the same place he did. We arrived at the same destination. So if we follow in the exact footsteps of Jesus, we will arrive at the same destination. And with Christ, we present ourselves in harmony with what is written in God's book, to do His will, even unto death. This is our privilege, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. We are in this school to be perfected, to be a copy, a likeness of Jesus. We are to learn of Him, to be prepared for joint heirship with Him in His kingdom. We are to learn at his feet the lessons necessary for our future service. And we are also taught to have full faith in God. Because God desires that we grow in knowledge and in appreciation of his character, and he is teaching us through his words and through these various experiences we encounter through our life. God desires that we grow in knowledge and in appreciation and character. And we enter the school of Christ voluntarily, not by any force. So if he desires this, it means that we desire it also. Because each step of growth in knowledge brings a corresponding step of necessary duty and obedience. Then progression in duty and obedience will be followed by further growth in knowledge, and that's continuing education that will not end until we pass beyond the veil. 2 Timothy 3:14-15. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 in the Living Bible. But you must keep on believing the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those of us who have taught you. You know how when you were a small child you were taught the Holy Scriptures, and it is these that make you wise to accept God's salvation by trusting in Christ Jesus. And we're all familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16, but I'm going to read it from the American Standard Version. Every scripture inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, which is in righteousness. The manna for May the 21st, referring to this scripture, reads, and I quote, "It may be well for us all to remember that all the graces of the Spirit, all the progress and the knowledge of divine things to which we have already attained, may have helped us keep nearer to God and to holiness. They have come to us through the scriptures of the Old Testament and through the words of our Lord and his inspired apostles. Nor will it be necessary to turn to any other channel for the true wisdom which would prepare us for that salvation that is promised." Unquote. Another scripture by Lynn, but I thought it fits this perfectly. Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to our Lord." Daily we must search the Word of God so that we may understand his divine message, that we may get the Spirit of Truth. We need to search to see what is the real meaning of these lessons. Study to know what God would approve. Study his revelations. Study the doctrines. Study the words. Study our course of conduct. Study the nature of everything we come in contact with. Study to shield ourselves from error. Study our hearts for faithfulness. Study ourselves to know our opportunities, to know our talents, and also to know our shortcomings. The knowledge of the will of God comes to us through the study of the Bible, not a casual or thoughtless reading. We receive our education by giving ourselves wholly to studying the truth and being led into all truth by the Spirit of Truth. We need to be led into all truth by the Spirit of Truth. In learning of God's greatness, the spirit of meekness, long-suffering, patient endurance, and love will continue to grow in us. But we must have this burning zeal, this burning love for God and for righteousness. With his Holy Spirit, ours by his grace, we can develop these fruits of the Spirit, and they will influence all of our thoughts. They will influence all of our actions. It will influence all of our words and all of our deeds. And you know these truths of the Spirit that are outlined in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These fruits of the Spirit are developments of the new nature, its heart and its character. They don't come miraculously as gifts, but they are developed over time, and they're based upon the personality and the environment of each of the Spirit-begotten ones. They come as a result of continuous education in the school of Christ. But they are necessary for us for this hour of temptation, and they are necessary for us for graduation, for entrance into the kingdom. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, or you might say will never fail. For an entrance shall be provided for you, ministered unto you abundantly, into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our academic schools or in our lives, we were taught the ABCs, and we were also taught the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. To me, that seemed to be a poor example of a start in spelling. Only one of the words was spelled right. The other two taught us, I thought, poor spelling. How about writing, R-I-T-I-N-G? Arithmetic, R-I-T-H-M-E-T-I-C. But in our school, all scripture inspired by God is profitable for teaching. If it is inspired by God, it is true, because God cannot lie. It is correct. It is not misspelled. We can believe it. We can trust it. We can have faith in it. Believe it. Trust it. Have faith in it. God's children also have at least three R's. Ransom, resurrection, restitution. These are sound teachings. They are sound doctrines. Now, each of these three R's is worthy of their own individual lesson. We'll only dwell on them a little bit. In the great plan of God for human salvation, the ransom constitutes the very central feature, and from it radiates all the doctrines which will end in fullness and completion of that divine plan. From whatever viewpoint we look at this subject, it is both beautiful and it is always consistent. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That scripture verifies not only the ransom, but that there will be a resurrection of all, and all we've made alive, and have that opportunity for eternal life. Acts 3:20 and 21, regarding restitution. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The millennial kingdom, the restitution age, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the period of the renewing of mankind on the earth, when our Redeemer shall take charge, take dominion of the world out of the hands of the current prince of this world. In academic schools, there are different degrees of learning. Some are in the primary stage of development, some in the intermediate age, and some in that graduating class. And the same is true in the school of Christ. When we entered the school of Christ, we were babes and acted as babes. But the Apostle Paul says we are not to remain babes. As babes, we fed upon the sincere milk of the world, that we may grow accordingly. And then Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by their cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. As we grow, we no longer desire milk as a steady diet. It's time to move on to the next stage of our development. We prefer to come to the Father's table and the table of the Lord and receive strong meat, the truth. The strong meat that belongs to those that are of full age. The meat that will make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, so that they may discern good and evil. Growing in grace and knowledge, we are learning more and more what God's divine will is for us and what his Holy Spirit is. As we receive more of the Spirit of the sound mind, we see how foolish are many of the things that we once believed. There's a new light coming into our minds, an appreciation of the lengths, the breadths, the heights, the depths of God's love, which passes all understanding. Then comes the final stage of our development. That is commencement day. The standard of character development, which God upholds, as we talked about, is very high. The pupils in the school of Christ who graduate with the highest honors must be so humble, so teachable, so patient, that they will be ready to receive final instruction from the Master in whatever way he sends it. The called, the chosen, and the faithful are the students in the school of Christ who graduate with the highest honors. Revelation 17, 14. Revelation 17, 14. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything that's been said amiss. Amen. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most precious name. Dear Father, now as a group of thy children, we desire to approach thy throne of grace to offer you all of our praise and our thanksgiving, and to thank you for your tender mercies and your love for us. And dear Father, we are so thankful that we have been called out of darkness, that we may attend and have the opportunity, the privilege, to be in the school of Christ. We pray that we may be diligent students, and we may also be diligent teachers as we work together to reach the final stage of our development. Be with us and guide and direct us, and teach us and guide us with thine eyes. We are so thankful to you, dear Father, for all the blessings we receive from thee. Especially thankful to you at this time for this convention that we are able to gather together with those of like precious faith, with our friends. Be with us in our fellowship together. Be with the further sessions of this convention that they may be a blessing to all. And dear Father, we always pray that thy will may be done in our lives as we wait upon thee. And we do thank you, dear Father, for the gift of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.